much to my surprise, not everybody in the world shares my opinion. I'm Boone Cutler. The following show is my opinion and only my opinion. It's all me. So what you hear is what you get, and if you got a complaint, send it to me, Boone Cutler. That being said, let's start the show. The time is now. The place is here. This is Tipping Point with Boone Cutler. Why am I here? Because I'm going to tell you the warfighter perspective. If you can hear the sound of my voice, guess what? You're talking to a warfighter. You better get to know us, America, because we're coming home in droves. Within the next 18 months, there's going to be a million of us on the street that have been fighting wars all over the world. And now we're going to be with you. We are the descendants of Sparta. We are true professional warfighters. That's what we do. We fight wars. We are the samurai society of this country. We will not assimilate. We will not be like you. We will be like ourselves. We will maintain our battle mind because that's what it takes to win, and America has been weak. To the warfighter, I say, this is your rally point. This is your cop, your alpha alpha, your fob, your base. Stay with me. I need you. Let's get in step. 23 million people in America can make anything happen, and there are 23 million veterans in America. Typically, when they want a warfighter perspective on one of those big name shows, they're going to get Ollie North, maybe some retired general. Give him 2 minutes on a social, national, international issue, and that's it. He's gone. He's done. 2 minutes. Well, I think you deserve more. You get the full measure right here, right now. This is Tipping Point. Hard luck of the devil with the grace of God on the level of eyes, and it makes you nod with the body of a sinner, mind of a saint. I'm everything you love, everything you hate. Hit a lot of curves, hard roads and hills. Got nerves of steel and watch time stand still. It took too long, but I stood my height. You can say I'm wrong, but you ain't right. And we're back. Tipping Point, Boone Cutler. Exciting show today. Going into the, what is this? Are we already this far into it?
We're an hour in, bro. One down, two to go.
Man, I blinked twice. It's already over. All right, we got two more hours. We're going to have a lot of fun. Right now, just so you know, in studio, we've got James, we've got Natalie, we've got Diamond Deb, and we've got Bobby Adams, all of which from Golden Guns Tattoo. We're going to talk a little bit about ink. Got a little bit of that up on the Facebook page, too. I'm going to get some ink done, guys. And we're talking the other day. I'm kind of thinking that I want to get a for those that are listening, send us your suggestions. I need some artwork because I got to get this thing kind of tooled out and diagrammed. But I'm looking to get something with St. Ignatius and St. Michael. There's a lot of St. Michael stuff out there, not a lot of St. Ignatius stuff out there. But something specifically doing the right arm, maybe a little bit of what is that called when you put like just text across the forearm? So when you cross your arms, you look like a badass, and people can read what you're thinking. What's that
script?
Script?
Yes.
It's like a personal captioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like your quote. You got one, right, Bob? You got 7 seconds on your arm, right?
Yes, I do. That was for our 25th anniversary.
The 25th?
That was 10 years ago.
Anything on the other side?
No, just some Asian sleeve work that my wife's working on. It's a work in process. A
lot of ink.
She keeps trying to get me to come in and work on it, and I'm like, no, it hurts.
No, it hurts. Oh, that's too much fun. And for those that don't know, we've been talking about it all morning. Bobby Adams, the guitarist for the band called 7 Seconds.
Yeah.
Been around for a
35 years. March was 1980.
What do you say to people that say, you know, punk was just a fad?
Look at us now.
Look at us now. I mean, Mike Ness is still out there doing his thing. You know him?
No, I don't.
Ever met the guy? Is he kind of like the you look at Mike Ness and Social D, are they the PC punk guys?
I don't know about that. I liked him when I was a kid. I like him now. I never ran across him.
Never ran across him?
No.
Never played the same places?
We've probably crossed paths millions of times on tour. I don't recall ever playing with them at an actual show.
It's kind of like that within our community. Guys who there have this social profile, you know, people think that we're all hanging out at the same place for Christmas and for Thanksgiving, and we're really not. We're in like different parts of the country. We do a lot of the same stuff, end up at the same places, but we're not like, you know, we're not doing Midnight Chow every week together.
Right now I'm having a memory pop in, like what I associate with is like Sepultura went on right after us.
Nice.
In Germany. So we got done playing at this big festival. There's like 30,000 people in front of us. And the last note we hit, there's Sepultura across this whole sea of people starting up. I'm like, wow, okay.
30,000. I have not performed in front of 30,000. Is it different, though? I mean,
do you get a different, is it different energy between, you know, 2,000, 15,000, 30,000? Is it different energy or is it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some of the clubs are real intimate, the small places, that's what we like to do, like the 500 capacities. Those are a blast, like the sweat boxes, and it's just, the sound is great. And some of those outdoor things are just, okay, I got this huge stage, what do I do with it?
Okay.
So
okay.
You got to run around and, you know, we're all over 45, so.
So you lose the intimacy on the bigger stage.
Oh, yeah.
But can you even hear what you're doing, though?
Oh, yeah. They have some really nice sound systems these days, and it's loud.
Yeah. Okay. I had no idea. But the energy's different. Do you get more energy from the bigger crowd or from the more intimate stuff?
Sometimes. Sometimes there's – it depends on the city and the crowd and the mood and where we're at on the bill.
And what about the Russian people? You just did that gig out in Russia.
Oh, my God. That was just amazing. You could actually pull that up on YouTube, 7 Seconds at Moscow, and see the show there, see one of our songs on there, Young Till I Die, and the kids are going nuts. It's like a dryer. The club is like an automatic dryer with people tumbling around.
when you're in different countries, is kind of like a... Is it a connection? The music is the music, and I mean, everybody puts their culture in. It's a universal culture, music, right?
Yeah. After a while, you don't really know where you're at. It's like, oh, this reminds me of Boston, or, you know, and we're over in Europe somewhere, or vice versa. You know, you could get this European feel at somewhere in New York or something. You know, it's just, they all become, with music, it's all one.
Right.
You know?
Right. And you were talking about, you were the product of warfighters.
I am a product of the Navy. My dad was in the Navy, and my mom's dad was in the Navy, and they met in Florida, and that's where I came from.
Interesting. See that? Military makes a love connection. Next thing you know, you got a punk icon. That's a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun.
That's pretty darn cool.
What about, I mean, did your father, I mean, being in the military, and what was that influence like in your life?
Not really. He was already out of it once I start remembering, like about 4 years old, somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm.
More of the Navy thing that I noticed was my grandfather, who was a chief, and he was in Vallejo.
Mm-hmm.
And that always stuck with him. That was like always my image of him, like this big, huge guy and a chief.
That's what it was, the ego, you know? That just kind of always came through. Very cool.
And he was definitely a leader.
Very cool. How much time we got before? Go ahead. Let's get.
No, we got about 4 minutes. But see, now we're just talking about babies.
Babies.
We need to mention something about a baby.
Yes, we do. We have an announcement to make. Yesterday morning, about 02, a young baby was born, and the baby was named Kyle Boone Webster. I want to make sure I get all the information here.
I got it up here if you need it.
Why don't you go ahead and read that? This is good.
All right, here we go. Post it's on the Facebook group. Boone is honored beyond words. Brand new warfighter baby named for Chris Kyle and Boone Cutler. Another little member of the warfighter community joined us yesterday. Congratulations to Roger and Sherry Webster and their family on their newest addition, Kyle Boone Webster, who was born at 226, excuse me, 0226.
Zero.
0226. I've always called it O. Always called
it's
it O.
It's okay. It's Air Force.
I know it. On April 2nd.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Exactly. Little Kyle Boone couldn't wait to make his appearance at the hospital, and instead dad had to play catch at home while waiting for EMS to arrive. So a warfighter delivered his own little warfighter baby. How cool is that?
That's cool. Roger did that. Delivered Sherry's baby, and it's they have siblings. They've got Roger Jr., Cheyenne, and Caleb. So I want to send a shout out to the whole family and say good job delivering your own baby at home. And I am tremendously honored to be. You know, what do you say to somebody who names a baby after you? I mean, I've never even met these people. It's such an honor and. It's really humbling, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it blows me away. I just want to say thank you and God bless you. And I hope this child will grow to call me Godfather, just like a few other children in the community. Freydog, you know, I'm Godfather to his children. And it's an honor. It's truly an honor.
And Roger says, quote, "My wife and I would be honored at the thought of Boone and his wife accepting the naming of our last child in honor of him, as well as my brother-in-arms, Chris Kyle. I have the utmost respect for both men and their families and proudly call them my brothers, even though we have never personally met." And little Kyle Boone carries on the name because it's a family deal. They name babies after warfighters.
Beautiful. Man, that's beautiful. So a big shout out there. I, for people that know me a little bit, that when I get humbled, I don't have a whole lot to say. And that's kind of where this is at. But God bless you, and we will definitely have to meet. How can we not? Tipping Point Boone Cutler, we're going to take a quick break. This is a shout-out to little Kyle Boone Webster.
Is he doing push-ups yet?
Better be.
Get it done.
And we'll be back. Tipping Point Boone Cutler. Let's move right to it. We've got Cleo DeLoner, a warfighter, served in Somalia, and is the author of Trigger Pieces. She's also going to talk a little bit about Brainsake, I think. How you doing, Cleo?
You know, Boone, it's an outstanding, beautiful day here in Arizona. And the only thing that makes me sad is that 23 of our warrior brother and sisters who took their lives yesterday are not here to see that.
I agree with you. At a minimum, the military just came out, did a study, and said the deployments have nothing to do with the suicide rate. And, you know, I haven't been through the study yet, but in some ways I have to agree, and in some ways I don't. I don't think it is necessary that a deployment is a direct relation to the high suicide, the high, you know, warfighters taking their own lives. I think it has a lot to do with what happens when we come home and the discrimination that we face in our own country, and the folks that are afraid of things like PTSD phobia, which is ridiculous. I think the lack of jobs, and there's so much discrimination against the warfighter family that you know, how many choices does somebody have? For anybody who wants to know more about that, go check out the Big Dogs to the Front video that I made about a year ago, and it kind of lays out that whole glide path that we call it the path to extinction, because that's what's happening. Those are the factors that are leading to this. And I don't know anybody out there that's been deployed that doesn't say, send me back. You know, it's not a problem being over there. It's a problem being over here. And so I'm saying it's America's problem. It's not a warfighter problem. But they're not going to fix it. We got to fix it ourselves. And that's no problem, because we take care of our own. Isn't that right, Cleo?
Absolutely. And you know what? I agree with you. I don't think it's deployment as the sole problem. I think there's a lot of variables in it. And I did read that article, and I agree with some, but not all. And again, there's a lot of variables to it. And you were right, you know, the PTSD phobia and being judged and reintegrating back into society and feeling unwanted and misunderstood. And, you know, we've got to step up. We've got to step up and help each other.
That's true. That's true. You know, it's America's problem, but it's our responsibility to fix it. So I'm not going to shirk that. If anybody wants to know who's at fault, I am. Blame me. Blame yourself. Look in the mirror, because we're the people that have to solve the problem. Not looking for anybody else to do it. Don't need that. Not passing any buck. We got to get it done ourselves. And the way we do that is with a battle buddy and a mission. If you don't have a battle buddy next to you that you've already taken that Spartan pledge with, and you don't have a mission in front of you, that means you got something to do every day that puts, you know, puts some milestones between you and what you did in country. Well, you're probably not doing the right thing. You're probably stuck in something. You're probably drinking a little bit too much. Maybe doing some other things a little bit too much. Maybe sitting on the couch too much. Maybe just not having a sense of mission. And if you're doing nothing, well, then you got a problem, because you should be doing something. Because a warfighter without a mission is a dead warfighter. But a warfighter with a mission is a deadly warfighter. And we just want to thank James, who is a warfighter doing tattoos now. We want to thank Diamond Depp for giving him that job. And she comes on the show and says, you know what? I love it. I love it. Does a great job for me. Go ahead and get up on the mic there real quick. Diamond Deb, I want you to say this again. This is perfect for what Cleo has to talk about. James works for your shop.
Great. He's great what he does.
Because what he does is?
Yeah. He's a leader. He's a leader, and he's our manager, and, you know, he keeps a tight ship, and we definitely need that.
And I bring back hazing.
Yes.
I really enjoy hazing. I miss that in the military.
You know, it does have its place. It does have its place. And so we have a lot of fun with that, and I want to thank you for doing that. And we just got to keep letting America know, you know, you guys got to settle down, because all you're really doing is making us coalesce into one group, and we will. We're going to seize power. But let's talk about your stuff today. New book out, right?
Yeah, it's called Trigger Pieces.
Did I say Trigger Points?
No, you said Trigger Pieces.
Okay, Trigger Pieces. And today you're going to read for us one of your pieces out of Trigger Pieces.
I am, and it's a pretty powerful piece, and I believe that all warfighters can really relate to this, and you know, hopefully it will shed some light on their situation to their loved ones as well, and what it's like for us.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called PTSD Kill Zone.
Without further ado, PTSD Kill Zone.
All right, here it goes, PTSD Kill Zone. Waves of anger crash in from every angle, trapped in fear beneath the sands of time, assaulted from every direction by pain, a maze of confusion in every thought. I live in the PTSD kill zone day after day. The enemy of worthlessness has surrounded me. I fire left. I fire right. I fire in every direction, destroying only a few each day. The barrage of those I've killed regroup at night, attacking my sleep with images of horror. The cold sweat not enough to wash them away. The tears in my trembling hands only feed them. They have me trapped in the kill zone. I hide, but they always seem to find me. My ammo of strength and courage are running low. I can see my battles through the smoke. They stand at the ready with love and understanding, the type that only a battle buddy truly possesses. What will become of me in the PTSD kill zone? Surrounded by the flames of hatred and sadness, my mind burns from the heat of the memories that I can't spit out. My heart pounds in succession of the rounds being fired toward me. The PTSD kill zone closes in on me day after day, making my escape almost impossible. It is now my only reality for 22 years. My soul melts in the kill zone. My eyes water from the smoke. I know that outside the PTSD kill zone, love and peace await me. I make a run for it. Pushing, crawling, struggling my way through the pain, fear, sadness, worthlessness, and anger. Scratching, clawing my way through the kill zone, I low crawl. Ammo is spent, weapon now useless. I must now depend on my mind, a mind that has been shredded by living in the kill zone. As I bleed and cry through my wounds, I see you, and you, and you, my battle buddies. You have defeated the enemy and rescued me from the kill zone. Our blood and tears mix together as we embrace. We stumble through the kill zone, tripping over the enemies we have slain. We see one of our own in the PTSD kill zone. With a fresh supply of love, compassion, and understanding, we assault the enemy to rescue our battle from the kill zone. We hear a shot ring out. We see the blood pool around their head. The PTSD kill zone has claimed number 22 for the day. Day after day, we grow in numbers, going from kill zone to kill zone to rescue our battles. Racing against the vicious clock of the PTSD kill zone. The end.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And people can find that in your book, Trigger Pieces. What's the, we just got about 30 seconds here, actually about a minute, but tell us real quick, what's the motivation for the book and how do people find it?
The motivation for the book is just a series of writings that come from my heart, my mind, and my soul, some from my nightmares, some from my memories. Some are true stories, and they're not all military. They're not all suicide. Some are from my childhood. Some are from things I saw as a police officer, as a corrections officer, about depression, all different kinds of stuff. And they can find it at my website, www.deserttodesert.com, and they can also find it on my Facebook page, A Soldier's Journey in the Battle Within.
Very, very, very nice. And give a plug. You just got back. Do you want to say anything about BrainSake?
I do. You know, BrainSake is a treatment program that uses biofeedback and neurofeedback, and they literally saved my life, Boone. I did 25 treatments, non-invasive, no drugs, no pain, 4 minutes in the chair, and it has taken all of my symptoms away. No nightmares, no suicidal, homicidal, no cutting, no self-harm. No rage, no irritability, no flashbacks, no hypervigilance, no paranoia. And the biggest thing, no suicide attempts, no ideations, I should say. And I am off all of my psychotropic medications, including sleeping meds.
Outstanding. It's a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. I like how you're doing that. For those who don't know, BrainSake has been on the show before. They're good people. I hear nothing but positive things. In Maryland, right? Or are they in D.C.?
They're in Maryland, Bethesda, Maryland, and you can find information at www.brainsake.com.
Right. Go check that out, brainsake.com, and go check out everything Cleo's got going on. If you missed any of that information, go to Tipping Point Boone Cutler on the Facebook page or on the group. We'll post it up and talk to Cleo. I think you can go over there and talk to a few people if they got any questions, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, check out my Facebook page, check out my book page. I'm also a DJ on Warfighter Up Radio. I have a segment called Desert to Desert with Ghost the Loner on Wednesday nights at 8 Eastern. And we talk about all the Warfighter issues, and I share a piece every night from my book, or every Wednesday night, I should say, you know, trying to help out the community and help make a difference in a life, save a life, impact a life, and, you know, save our warrior brother and sisters.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Come back again real soon. Okay, Cleo?
Sure, Ben. Thank you.
All the way. Have a beautiful day. I love working with you.
Cool. All right. Bye.
All the way. Out here. This is Tipping Point Boone Cutler. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Team I'm So First. A little bit of hip-hop talk. And we're back. Tipping Point Boone Cutler. Hey, if you got some ink, you got some cool stuff that you've inscribed on your body, go to Tipping Point with Boone Cutler Facebook page right now. Put that stuff up. We want to see it. We want to talk about it on air. After we get done with this, we're going to talk a little bit about ink, some tattoos. I'm going to get some work done, and I'm sitting here with the artists that are going to do it. So give me some suggestions. I'm looking for some St. Michael stuff, some St. Ignatius stuff. St. Ignatius started the Jesuits, which is the basically the warfighter church. He was a warfighter, and I think that stuff's kind of cool. It's a good warfighter history. And Tipping Point Boone Cutler. Now we've got Team I'm So First. He's a warfighter, came from the Division area, right?
Anyway, yes, that's correct, Division.
How you doing, brother?
I'm cool. I'm good, man.
It's been a few minutes since you came on the show. What's been going on since you were on last?
It's been laying low, man. You know, shooting a little film here and there. That's about it.
Yeah, how's the music going?
It's going good, man. You know, I just dropped a freestyle a week or two ago back. It's the internet. It was all over the timelines, you know.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. A lot of people didn't hear you last time you were on the show, but just so we can recap, I remember you had just gotten out of the military. You just got out of division, and you still had what a lot of us go through. That top tier anger was still kind of raging through you. Is that still going on?
Nah. I would say I kind of got it under control now. It was out of hand. You know, you had mentioned to me before is usually at that 10 to 15 month time frame. What kind of creeps upon you.
Yep, yep. That's where the red zone is. The red zone is right there. Starts about 10 months. And because that's when the warfighter realizes, you know, you're coming up on the year of getting out of the military, you know, the identity, you know, the broken identity thing starts to happen. You know, hey, who am I? What's going on? You know, what happened to my life? What do I do now? That's right about 10 months. That's where a lot of the depression really sneaks in. That's where a lot of the... I don't know. That's where the humps kind of starts. And then a lot of things start happening after there. So that 10 months, that's the red zone. That's what we call that. So if you're going to get out or if you're out and things are just getting kind of funky, I was just on the phone with a buddy of mine, got out not too long ago, and he called me and I'm hearing all the themes, you know, not getting along at home, can't sleep, didn't think he had PTSD, but now maybe thinks he does. You know, the nightmares start creeping in, the night sweats start happening, just conflict everywhere. And I'm like, how long you been out? And he's like, about 11 months now. And so it's really, really consistent. So you would agree?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely, man, definitely. I got a buddy who just got out. He moved back home towards Shelby. And I got to keep my eye on him, but it's very true.
And so you're buddied up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to, man.
Yep. You definitely got to. And so, well, as warfighters, we got to make sure, you know, the only people that are going to understand us, it's not our families, it's not the doctors, you know, it's not the police, it's not your counselors, it's your buddy. It's each other.
Each other.
It's always each other. So make sure you got a battle buddy. Make sure you take that Spartan pledge and you got that level of commitment to get that done. And keep a mission in front of you. Is that helping?
Oh, yeah. I got a mission in front of me. And my battle buddy is my hometown. You know, they support me and a lot, and a few of my motivations. So it's kind of like I go hand in hand with them, you know, to make us all look well. You know, I don't want to be part of the stats, you know, as a suicide. You know, we still have 22 a day. So as a veteran, I'm still in that category and that ratio. So kind of like stay busy and keep my mind on, you know, school, my family, things like that. And with the support of my city, you know, it's been working out well. So kind of found my – I kind of have the most fun behind the lens of the camera, you know, and doing things like that.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. That's a new thing. We haven't talked to you about that. Let's talk about the camera work, man. What's going on with that?
Well, currently I'm enrolled at Full Sail, you know, down in Florida. I go to school online for digital cinematography. It's been going well, man. You know, they teach you a lot of things. You know, it's more than just sitting in the theater and watching a movie. You know, you have to see how that project is put together, and, you know, it's kind of like a puzzle. You know, you got to have the wardrobe stylist, the makeup artist, you got to have the director, you got to have the editor, script writer, you know, and they teach you all this stuff in school, you know. And I find a high interest in it, so I contain a lot of the knowledge, and a lot of the work they give you is hands-on. So, you know, have a fun time doing it.
So the creative process, I find a lot of warfighters, when they get out, they got to have that creative process because it helps. Yeah, I mean, poetry is, you know, trying to explain the unexplainable, and I think that's kind of what we go through. We're trying to explain the unexplainable with the things that we feel and the things we experience, and it comes out through the creative process. You know, Cleo was just on, and she was talking about her writing. We had Doug Smith, he was on. He was talking about his music. You know, we got James here. He's talking about he's doing tattoos. He does artwork. You're behind the lens of a camera. I do this. Soldier Heart does music. So I think I'm starting to see a theme here.
Yeah. Yeah, you spoke about that last time, you know. Maybe like, what'd you say, having the warfighter genre in the awards.
Yeah, I think it should be. I think the American Music Awards should have a warfighter genre. I mean, you have other musical genres. Why wouldn't you have the warfighter musical genre? Because it truly is a genre in and of itself. Not just the type of music, but the lyrics, how it's set up, who does it. And, I mean, if you're going to have R&B and you're going to have rock and you're going to have all this other stuff, well, why don't you have warfighter music? I think that it's becoming more and more popular. Redcon One Music has multiple artists on the label that are warfighters and just do warfighter music. It's amazingly popular. Every time it comes out on iTunes, it charts very, very high. Soldier Heart came out and beat Jay-Z on iTunes, one day. So, I mean, you can't deny this. You know, the social capital is there to make these things happen, and I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to get better and better and better and better. I think the talent is definitely rising. You know, from 2010 to now, you're seeing guys with crazy talent, and they're not just putting it together in little pieces. They're putting it together in the music, in the arrangement, in the video section. I mean, all the way around. It's talent.
Yeah, that's just like how I did my last day. You know, you're speaking about the creativity and things like that. You know, I just basically put thoughts into a visual way of looking at it. You know, for people that don't understand, can get a visual of how, you know, of how we view it.
Yeah, I like that. And My Last Day, that was a song you did. It's on YouTube. People should find that. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go check that out. It's called My Last Day. Hits really hard, really captures a lot of the angst, the anger, the frustration, the conflict, the internal conflict, external conflict. And if you want to understand a lot of that, I think the way you put it out in a positive way, though people might think it's positive because it's anger, it's angst. But you know what? Better through art than through self-destruction, I say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, that's the path we don't want to take. You know, having something like, you know, the military veteran foundation is responsible for lowering the 22 a day, you know, because of the talents being increased and, you know, getting a lot more exposure. You know, we just need some big names behind us, you know, to make it happen.
I couldn't agree, and I think we're making our own big names because we can't rely on anybody else. And it should be that way because we need to take care of ourselves. I don't think anybody else is going to do it but us.
Yeah, it's like the Wounded Warrior Project. You know, that's a lot of people don't know about that, but that's a great organization also, you know.
Well, I'm glad. I'm definitely glad you think so. I subscribe more to like Gallant Few and organizations like that a little bit more one on one. And you know, as long as we're all coming together and we're helping out each other, and sometimes it's not an organization, it's just a guy, you know, a dude you know. And you know, whether it's warfighter owned pages on Facebook or any type of social media, whether it's radio shows, podcasts, music, videos, it all works, and it all kind of comes together, and it is coming together. How can people find out more about your work, brother?
I would tell them the best way is just to Google I'm So First. You know, that's I-M-S-O-F-I-R-S-T. Basically, on any social network that you might be surfing, you know, you just Google that on there, and I'll pop up.
I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. And what can we expect from you over the next 6 months and a year?
To be honest, man, I'm gonna stay behind the lens a little bit more than I'm gonna step up to the mic. I got a huge project that I'm working on right now that's in sync with my schooling. It's gonna be a documentary about my hometown, Shelby, North Carolina. And it's gonna be real. I mean, it's gonna have the emotional grasp because it's gonna be a lot of people that be able to relate to it, you know. But it's gonna have the positive side to it also. You know, it's just going to show a lot of stuff that I've learned in school and how passionate that I am about the art and creativity of the work. And, you know, and music videos. You know, right now I'm on a set of a video right now in Concord, North Carolina, at a boxing ring, Mid-South Boxing. So I'm going to stay behind the lens, man, and that's where I'm most comfortable at. It's kind of like being behind the M4, you know.
I like it. I like it. One way or another, we're going to shoot something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, brother. Hey, I'm going to take off, man. I appreciate your time. Come back in. Check in with us in about 6 months. Let us know what you got going on.
All right, man.
All right, brother. All the way. This is Tipping Point Boone Cutler. Got to take a break, Sean?
Let's take one.
When we come back, we're going to play a video. It's called, it's about F cancer, and because we're going to speak out a little bit about against cancer and help out a young man by the name of Elijah there in Southern California that's going through it right now. And stand by. We're going to come back with an Article 15 video. And we're back. Let's get into it real quick. This is a spot done by Article 15 Clothing. It's to help out a young man by the name of Elijah that is going through cancer right now. He's got stage 3 cancer, Hodgkin's. He's in Southern California. We send a shout out to him and his father, Christian, his mom. And this is for you. Everybody try and support this thing. This is important. And let's play that.
My hands are shaking, knees are trembling, I can't take it, it's too much for me to bear. My body's caving in and breaking, there's too much tension, no one can save me from where I stand. The pressure keeps on building up, enough to blow your head right through the ceiling. My mind is racing, I'm going crazy, so pull the pin and let fly like a hand grenade. Hey, I'm ready to blow.
What's up, guys? I'm Matt's younger 12-year-old brother. I'm about to hit puberty, so that's exciting. No, hey, I had to shave my beard. If you guys want to see why that happened, the video will be somewhere around here. Probably next to JT's dick, because I tased him in there.
It still hurts.
That's okay. You don't use it. We kind of uploaded this video to show the fun shit that we've been doing the last year and a half, and kind of an exciting announcement. I've decided to kind of move away some other work that I've been doing professionally and personally to focus on creating content for you guys full-time. So I think we're all pretty amped about that.
Congratulations. Matt is now full-time.
Fuck yeah. 50. But I
don't
have a beard anymore. That's okay.
Oh, gross. Okay, anyway, we just pretty much had to kill that whole thing. Wow, go check it out on social media. Tipping Point Boone Cutler. We'll play the video, but it's F Cancer. It's a T-shirt, and I was trying to play that from the Article 15 boys, but it's a little bit too. What do you call that, Sean?
Warfighter language.
Yeah, the warfighter language. I watched it. I sometimes must be deaf to it because I just don't hear it. And he's like, "Hey, is it clean?" I'm like, "Yeah, I heard it."
Then after hitting the dump button twice, that clean.
We had to dump it twice. But go check that out. It's on my social media page, Tipping Point Boone Cutler, and it's on the group. It's by the Article 15 Boys, and it's to help out this young man Elijah, who is going through cancer treatments right now. Buy the T-shirt. The T-shirt is F Cancer. That's what it says on it. So we want to give some support for that. And we have a cancer survivor right here in the studio, warfighter yes. James. The same guy that's going to be doing some artwork mm-hmm. here.
Yes, I'm a leukemia survivor. I actually had all my treatments done at the VA hospital here in Reno. A lot of times you hear bad stuff about the VA, but
I don't have a problem with this VA.
No, they were the oncology clinic was just amazing.
This VA does a really good job. I was watching this recently. Darren Farr, the public affairs guy over there, he was on TV a couple days ago. I saw him in a local broadcast. They've got their 5-day wait to get an appointment, 10 days to get into specialty clinics, far ahead of what the rest of the country is doing. And so we want to send them a shout out. And you know what? It's not rocket science how they do it. Basically, how they do it is they know they're going to get so many cancellations per day. And so they kind of map that out. And so the number of cancellations is the number of appointments they take on top of that. And it keeps everything flowing and keeps everybody in and out there. And they probably got some other stuff. I probably completely screwed that up or gave away some ninja secret I shouldn't have done. Sorry about that, Darren, but maybe you could tell the rest of the country how you guys are doing this so everybody can get some help. But you had a good.
Oh, yes. Just amazing.
It was good stuff.
Wonderful treatment. Wonderful care. I miss my hair, but hey, at least I'm alive.
You know, you got a good shape head for it, though. We were talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no major terrain features.
No.
Yeah, it's nice. It's very good. How long ago did you go through that?
I'm about 10 years clean now.
10 years.
Yeah. The doctor said that like me and my wife could never have a baby, and we beat all the odds. We have a little 5-year-old.
Nice.
So,
very good.
Yeah, life is pretty good.
Life is pretty good. And when you're going through all that, like this young man, Elijah, that's going through cancer treatments right now, the family's not just using the conventional method, but they're also using it with cannabis. And I went there, Soldier Heart and I went over, we visited him and talked to Dad about it and then talked to Elijah about it. And it was pretty amazing. I mean, they're talking that where they're going through this, this treatment facility, they've got like an 80% cure rate. And I mean, cure rate for stage 3 Hodgkin's. So it's good stuff. What went through your mind? You're a young guy.
Being a Marine, we kind of handle things a little bit different. I figured if my days were numbered, I was going to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
I had a keg of beer every Friday, just through rager parties. Figured me and my mom throw me a birthday party every month because you never know which one's going to be your last. So you might as well have some fun while you're here.
And that was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's gotten better since then.
Oh, yes. Whenever I first got diagnosed with leukemia, I think it was a 40% survival rate. By the time, 2 years later, after I finished my treatments, they were all the way up to an 80% survival rate with it. So, and they're making leaps and bounds.
Sean, your family also affected by cancer.
Yeah, my wife is a 4-year survivor of breast cancer. This mm-hmm. past Tuesday was the fourth anniversary of finding out it was a cancerous growth.
Well, God bless you and your families. Thanks for sharing your story. Really appreciate that. As you're talking to other folks out there, they're kind of going through it. You got any motivating words for them?
No, just don't let it get you. Hey, you know what? You may get a bad diagnosis, but you're going to kill yourself faster than the cancer is going to kill you.
Mm.
You just have to be positive, and I think positivity has more to do with beating it than, well, I'm sure the drugs help, but.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When my wife, the first time we walked in the infusion room for chemotherapy, it was... And I'm sorry, I was going to offend a lot of people, but it looked like heaven's waiting room. People were in there looking like they were just waiting to die. And my wife just went in and said, this isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. For the 6 treatments that I'm here, we're going to be upbeat. We're going to be fun. We're going to have a good mm-hmm. time. And, you know, people came in and visited my wife. We were playing board games. We were laughing. We were joking. And we picked the spirit of the room up. And the nurses really believe that the positive outlook really helps a lot of people.
Whole Patch Adams thing.
Yeah, don't let it control your life. Yeah, mm-hmm. you got cancer, but it doesn't control your life. My wife still worked. We still did things with our son. It's not a death sentence anymore.
Very good.
Definitely.
Very good. Any cancer stories on the in studio? No. Well, good. Okay, well, before Stu Steinberg comes on, how much time we got to break? I want to play the song.
We got about 3 minutes.
That's not enough time.
We got a top of the hour. Looks like we got some time coming up.
Oh, yeah, we'll play that when we come back. Let's look at some of these tattoos real quick on Tipping Point Boom Color. I'm going to get some work done, and so we're kind of trying to see what other folks got going on. And who we got there?
All right, let's see. We got David Francis.
David Francis looks like he's got the Soldier's Cross there with a nice little background. And who's under that?
Cabo de la Raza.
He's got a Spartan helmet. I like that one, man. That's really clean.
He's got a tank. He's got looks like a I guess an Indian head with a skull. He's got a grenade on his foot.
And that's Cabo too.
Yep.
Hey, he's got a grenade on his
foot. Cabo's a little bit inked up.
Yeah, Cabo. He's a funny guy.
Cabo's got it all over the place. Let's see. Hector Barajas, who's listening to us from...
big shout out down to our brothers that are deported. It's good to know you guys. Keep doing that. We got a little bit of support last night from the warfighter family to try and pull some of that together. I think the laws need to be changed. I think that a warfighter that has served his country should not be deported out of the country. They do something wrong. They pay their debt to society. And, you know, we got to get that squared away.
Dude, we've talked about it before. The day you hand him his DD-214, you hand him his citizenship papers.
It should just be automatic. It should happen. But, you know, that is not the law right now. And it used to be that you didn't get deported if you were a veteran and you committed a crime. You did your time and you had to deal with it. But we're not talking about guys that were border jumpers and served. I mean, we're talking about guys that were resident aliens, served their country. It was not, you know, there was nothing illegal there in their status in America. They committed a crime and they got in trouble. They paid their debt, and then they get kicked out of the country and they lose their benefits, lose everything. And it's I think it's chicken, you know what. So a big shout out to Hector Barajas down there south of the border with our banished veterans. We love you guys, man. We're going to continue to support you. Who else we got there real quick? Just give a couple.
Shar Arndt put something on there, but Hector's got a U.S. banished veteran on one shoulder and, you know, airborne guys. You know, he's got his wings on the other.
Gotta have his wings. Okay, Tipping Point Boone Color. We will be right back.